We are in a powerful series called Enduring Faith, and we're studying the book of Joshua, and I'm in Joshua 3. Before we get started, let's pray to the Lord, our Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day where we can come before you together in fellowship with one another, building one another up in the name of Jesus, worshiping you with songs and hymns, praising your holy name. There's millions of maybe billions of people that aren't praising the one and only true God. How blessed we are to have the opportunity to open up our mouths and proclaim your goodness. We do not take that for granted. And for that, we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm going to talk about, just to give you a quick review, I'm going to talk about five principles of faith that I discovered while I was studying this topic. Enduring faith is a theme out of the book of Joshua. But before I do that, what came to my attention was this was the day of liberty for the nation of Israel. Reminded me of this special lady in the New York Harbor that we call Lady Liberty. She's a special lady that stands at the harbor, and her whole symbol is about freedom. The lady holds high a lamp to light the way for those that are seeking freedom. Am I right about it? She has a crown, and on her crown are 7 points pointing to 7 seas and 7 continents, basically saying, bring everything here. All of you that are oppressed, come to America. At her feet are chains. Am I right? Some of you have been there and seen it. Chains of tyranny broken. And what she's saying to us and to the immigrants, come. Those that are oppressed, come, because here's where freedom is. In the book of Joshua, in the spiritual realm, it's the same thing. I was told by some of the scholars, not told, I read, I was told. I was reading up on some of the scholars, and they were saying it was about 2.5 million people in the nation of Israel at the time as they were crossing over in the Jordan River. Here, in our history books, it tells us that it was about 12 million people that crossed over to the New York Harbor. They said it was about 5,000 a day leaving their oppressed government in the bondage and the tyranny that they were under to come to these United States of America. I submit to you today that God today is holding up a light of his word, which is a lamp unto our feet. And he's telling us, Abundant Life, bring me your pain. Bring me your depression. Bring me your messy marriages. Bring me your sin. Because as Arshel always says, one of his favorite scriptures, where there is freedom, liberty, and truth, who the Son sets free, what? Is free indeed. So I want us to realize some of the history here. You can recall in one of my notes I'm taking here, it says, for 40 years, the children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness instead of entering to the promised land. 40 years due to their lack of faith. They were saved from Egypt, but because of their unbelief, they lived a defeated life. Can we pause there? Because of their unbelief in the promises of God, for 40 years, they lived a defeated life. Now, we know through the book that Joshua was one of the young spies, him and Caleb, and he came back and said, we saw what God had promised us, let's go now and take it. But because of their unbelief, they wandered in defeat for 40 years. In summary, before we go into scripture, because I'm going to break it down, I have to say that the first two, from verses 2 to 4, I've noted that they were called upon to focus wholly and exclusively on God and to follow his presence. Verse 5 tells us they were also called to consecrate and sanctify themselves. Let me pause there. The word consecrate means to separate unto a holy purpose. It means to set aside from that which is common and mundane so that one might be holy and exclusively devoted to God and his purposes, like Rocky said, and his glory. Now, in the case of the Israelites, that would have entailed fasting, washing of their clothes, abstinence from some sexual relationships for a short time. As such, these eternal deeds were designed to symbolize or represent something that was happening to them internal. Now they're about to cross over into the Jordan. I submit to you and I that as Christians, we oftentimes don't hear the word sanctification enough. Maybe some of us are still walking in defeat because we haven't consecrated ourselves to our holy God. Just a thought I wanted to bring out. Now, let's get into the word. I got the big Bible today. Back in the day, you didn't have the cell phone. One of the things that I want, before we get into Joshua, I don't want us to, a lot of times when you've been saved for a long time and you've heard the word of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, a lot of things can become mundane to you. You can kind of turn off the powerful word of God because you've heard it so much. But I want to read this scripture and hopefully it will perk your interest to listen to the word of God in a new and exciting way this morning. We're going to talk about the wonders of God, right? We already know what he did with Egypt when he departed the Red Sea. That was a wonder. That was an amazing event in the history of this world. It actually happened. Our powerful Almighty God parted the Red Seas. But if you and I keep taking for granted his wonders, our prayer life will suffer. It will become mundane. We will forget who he is. I'm determined not to forget who the Almighty God is and to praise him for his wonders. I'm going to read this to you. The psalmist says this in Psalm 77, starting in verse 11. It says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I had to circle that as I was meditating on that. I will remember the wonders of old. Verse 12 says, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. Your way, not my way, not any pastor's way, not any priest's way, not Billy Graham's way, anybody that you can claim. If they're not telling you God's way, it's not holy. Your way is holy, he says. What God is great like our God? You are a God who works, there's that word, wonders. You have made known your might among the people. I wanted to share that scripture with you before we get into what this mighty crossing over is going to do, because we take it for granted. We take his word for granted. We take his mighty works for granted. And I need to add, I had the privilege of growing up with a grandmother who didn't, with a mother who didn't. You know, in Joshua 1, the Bible says that he told Joshua 3 or 4 times, I believe, be strong and courageous. Be strong. What you're getting ready to do is abnormal, and what you're getting ready to ask the people requires faith. But be strong and courageous and don't give up. It's one thing when God says, Abraham, go to another country, which I'll talk about later. It's another thing when he says, Noah, build an ark, which he's never seen rain. And I don't know why I'm telling you this before. I should wait. But what I'm saying is these mighty acts of God takes faith. And you and I might have faith, but you are human. There will come a time where Satan will say, did God really say? He says, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And like Rocky was saying and our worship team was saying, what I like about what Pastor Valerie was talking about in chapter 2 was Rahab heard about the great wonders of our God. And she was like, I'm going to lie to my king because I heard about your great God. Now, don't you like how she lied? I know it's weird for me to say that because lying is a sin. But don't you like the humanity of the Bible? Don't you like how he could use a prostitute, a murderer, you know what I mean? And Moses and David, an adulterer. See, they wouldn't even make it in our church, right? Right? With these religious people and these legalistic people, right? They wouldn't even make it. He used a prostitute. Moses murdered, David murdered. He said, David's a man after my own heart. I know I'm getting off. But what I'm saying is she understood the power of God, and she heard about it. Now, you remember when I was telling you that God said, listen, Moses, go tell this king what I'm about to do. And not only is it, it's really to show the people in Egypt, and my name will be famous among the nations. Well, Rahab proved that, didn't she? She says, I heard about the Red Sea, the wonders. See how she didn't take it for granted? That's why I wanted to read Psalm 77. Don't take it for granted of our mighty, mighty. If he can move the Red Sea, can he get you a job? Can he heal your body? Can he heal your marriage? The Red Sea? Now they're getting ready to cross into the Jordan. But what I'm trying to say to you is maybe you and I don't do what my mom and grandma did. Maybe we don't boast about the Lord enough. Maybe we take for granted that I graduated from Stanford or Berkeley or whatever, San Jose State. Maybe we take for granted that I got hired at Hewlett Packard. And people ask, how'd you get hired? Well, you know, my resume. How did you get the house? Well, you know, I saved up. Well, who? Huh? Maybe we do not give him the glory that he deserves. Maybe we're not boasting enough. Because then when you start boasting, they can say, you know what? Carlos told me about that God. That's the same God that delivered you. I heard that from Carlos. You know what? You know what? Monique told me about that. Is that the same? She heard about him. The whole nation heard about him in chapter 2, and they begin to melt. They're like, their God is getting ready to take over. And I love Rahab. She said, I don't care about this king. He's a puny man. I'm going to hide you, go on the roof. You know, I love that whole story. I was praising God because she lied. But, she's like, and then she said, look, this is how smart women are. I'm putting my neck out, save my family. She didn't even save my community, huh? Ain't that normal? Not my neighbor. Not my girlfriend. Here's what the people I want you. Do we got a deal? Because your God is mighty. Your God is mighty. And I just want us to pause and stop to give him glory today. He's a mighty God. Let's not take that for granted. All right, let me get into it. All right. Verse 1 says this. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out for Shittim. I'm thinking about rising early. Before you face the day, face your God. That's a good message right there. I love that. Before you face your day, face your God. Before you face your problems, early in the morning, face your God. And they came to the Jordan, and he and all the people of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. My first principle that I want to bring up is this. Faith will require you to wait. Faith will require you to wait. I say that because it's been 40 years. Can you imagine the anticipation? And then he says, we got to lodge for 3 more days. I'm an impatient person. I would have been Joshua. I'm ready to go now. 40 years we waited. We got to wait another 3 days. Faith may require you to wait. Here's the definition of what does it mean to wait on the Lord. This is my definition. In the scriptures, the word wait means to hope, to anticipate, and to trust. Now, to hope and to trust in the Lord requires faith. It requires patience. Here's a word, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. You're going to need those things when you wait on the Lord. Isaiah 64:4 says this, From days of old, no one has heard, nor has ears perceived, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who works and acts in behalf of the one who gladly waits for him. Read that again. For from days of old, no one has heard, nor has ever perceived, nor eyes have seen a God besides you who works and acts. Don't you want to circle? In behalf of abundant life. In behalf, put your name in there. Of the one who gladly waits for him. That was the Amplified version. Gladly waits for him. Man, I have been impatient waiting on the Lord. And sometimes in my waiting, my confession is I've been grumbling. Not the only one. Israel did the same thing. They couldn't wait on the Lord. I always said, how do you walk on dry land and then your leader leaves for whatever amount of time and he comes down and you're worshiping a golden calf? Grumbling. Grumbling. So they begin to serve another God. We often forget how good he is. We often forget what he did for us yesterday. And we will grumble with what we don't have today because he didn't answer your prayer today. This one says, he delights in us and he works on your behalf. But this waiting part, it basically says that God loves us. Because when you're waiting patiently and gladly, isn't that trust? Amen. Isn't that complete trust? That's what it says. It's complete trust. That's why waiting on the Lord, I'll say it again, it's about the hope, the anticipation, and the trust. Look what the psalmist said. David said this about trust. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the refuge and fortress of my life. Whom shall I dread? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. So if the Lord is your shepherd, if he's your fortress, the almighty, all-knowing God, he knows better than you and I whenever he's going to bless us, if he's going to bless us. He's the best parent in the world. He knows what's good for you. He knows that you need to wait to build character, to continue to trust in him. Like the boy, like what Rocky was saying, can you imagine going through the furnace? A young man, like, we're not going to serve you. Our God is mighty to deliver, but if he still doesn't, he's still God. I love that. I love that. Let's continue to read. Let's see. Where are we? Verse 4. As soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go. Check this out. For you have not passed this way before. You might be doing a new thing. God may be doing a new thing in your life. Maybe you just got married. That's something new. Maybe you're going into a new territory. Maybe you got a new promotion. Wait on the Lord. Wait, because he's getting ready to do a new thing in you. So wait on the Lord. The second principle that I want to say is that faith acknowledges that God may choose to work in new and mysterious ways. Fascinating to me. Can you imagine if you were part of this nation of Israel? And I don't know how old some of these people are now, because the past generations, because of their unbelief, they couldn't enter into the promised land. But obviously, they went through the Red Sea with them. But now, see, Moses just stretched out his hand and the seas parted. Now God is doing a new thing. Some of us keep looking for God to do the same thing he did yesterday. But now he's doing a new thing, and you can't figure out what he's doing. That's what I love about him. He will do a new thing in your life, and you have to acknowledge that. So, I mean, it's fascinating, because if I was a Levitical priest, I would have been like, Joshua, you mean you're not going to stretch out your hand like Moses? That's not what God said. Then Joshua said to the people, here's that word, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. I like how they obeyed him. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant. I just love that. A lot of times when God uses us, we act like we're doing him a favor. I mean, it's so hard to get people to serve in the kingdom. It blows my mind. That just blows my mind. Like, why wouldn't you want to use your gifts to help edify us? We need your gifts. He's giving you a gift to help build the church up and to edify the church, but we act like we're doing God a favor. I like how God says, look, man, I'm sorry. Look, Joshua, I'm going to tell the people like I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. That's mad confidence. Because they already knew how God worked mightily through Moses. Now he's going to work mightily through Joshua. And God said, they're going to know that I'm working through you. He's working through us for his glory. But the point is, can we give him the glory? Can we give him the glory that he's working through us for his glory? After all, in the new covenant, it says we are his what? Workmanship. We are his workmanship. I can't stand arrogant pastors and preachers. Can you know how crazy it is for you to call Abundant Life my church? Huh? You didn't die for Abundant Life. I mean, I'm getting out of it. I'm sorry. I just don't like that. You're just a vessel. Everybody's a vessel. We're in the family of God. I think I read in the Bible that it is not a pastor's church. I read that it was Jesus Christ's church. That's what I read. So I'm insulted when you say my church has 200 people. My church has 3,000 people. Can I say shut up? Humble yourself. Amen. You're a vessel. You know what I like about God? When Moses died, he just said, next. He didn't scratch his head and go, oh, my God, Moses, that's serving him. Next. He's going to say next to Archelle, next to Keith, next to Rocky, next to Pastor Sharon, next to Pastor Val, next, next to Henry, next to John. I can keep going. Next, next, next. He's going to say next because the gates of hell will not prevail against his kingdom. I'm always getting off. I'm sorry. Just saying. The third thing I want to say is that faith requires that we are willing to step out of our comfort zone. We're ready to step out of our comfort zone. I love the story of Hebrews 11. Just love it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That has always blown my mind. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You mean I can get up here and teach a word, and I can sing in the choir, and I can do worship, and I can study the word of God, and I can proclaim your name. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Your works does not please God. You must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What I also like about Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for without the evidence of things seen. This miracle that we're getting ready to talk about, they've seen him work wonders through their generation of past, yet this is a new way. He says, I'm doing a new thing, we're doing it in a new way, and now we're going to come up on the Jordan River, and I'm going to make it so bad that it was during flood season. That's how bad our God is. Not when the rivers were dry and you're going like this, walking through. He has to part it again. Don't you love that? The mighty God will do the impossible. And maybe this is a word for you. Maybe it is so bad in your circumstances right now that when he does deliver you, you can't help but praise him. I don't know how I got through that. I was homeless. Now I got a house. I didn't have a job. You know, now I got a home. I got food in it. I mean, it was bad, Pastor Archelle. And look what God did. Look what God did. So I like how God makes them wait for 3 days, because now the rivers are really flowing, and the miracle is going to get impossible. But you know what I love? The enemy is like trembling. Pastor Valerie said they were melting in fear because they heard about the wonders of our great God. That's what I love, God. God says, do not fear man. What can he do to you? You need to fear me. I can destroy both soul and body. I don't worry about it. I'm going to be honest with you. We can't, in America, they can't even go to a parade anymore. You know what I mean? This is evil out here, y'all. And when we pray that you come home that day, to me, that's a miracle. With the road rage out there, people are crazy. Can't go to a concert. People got shot in church. I'm holding on to his unchanging hand. Without fear, because you know what Jesus said? All these things going to happen, but he told you as his sons and daughters, be of good courage. Don't be tripping when you read the news. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, evil is going to prevail and get worse. But be of good cheer, because our God has conquered it all. He's conquered it all. But they had to step out of their comfort zone. And we have some great examples. You and I have to step out of our comfort zone. I'm going to give a quick testimony of where we're sitting here as to compared to Leghorn. Didn't we have to step out of our comfort zone? Didn't God do a new thing? And we don't even care because we're still celebrating his goodness. But Abraham had to step out of his comfort zone and go somewhere he's never been before. He wasn't alone. Moses had to step out of his comfort zone. Remember, he says, I can't speak well. You want me to go to a king, a pharaoh? What if I stumble? Man, don't worry, but I'm going to speak through you. Still stepped out of his comfort zone. I love how Rahab stepped out of her comfort zone, lying to her countrymen, right? Here's the best part. My man Gideon. You remember him?
Yes.
Coward. He wasn't like David. And he said, oh, man, I got it made. I got 32,000 soldiers. God was like, nope. Dropped the numbers to 300. Can you imagine a guy who's afraid to fight who started with 32? I would have been happy. 32,000? Let's go, y'all. 300? Even the bravest soldier would be, only 300 men? But God. God didn't even need 300, right? But God. So Gideon had to step out of his comfort zone and believe the word of God, right? We have stepped out of our comfort zone because, Abundant Life, what I love about your elders and pastors, it has never been about showmanship. It has never been about numbers. We were like, oh, wow, this is a blessing. Just so you know, that was like $1 million a year rent.
Wow.
Isn't God good?
Yeah.
We don't have to pay $1 million of rent anymore in that building to a millionaire. You should have saw me. I was doing a Baptist dance. That's just me. I was doing a Baptist dance. But be willing to step out of your comfort zone, Abundant Life, in your own personal life. Be willing to go to marriage counseling if you need it. Be willing to get the help for people that's been there and done that before. Humble yourself. That's why I like my generation. We respected our elders. I would sit at my grandfather's feet and say, how did you get through racism? Give me your mentality. What was the strength? And my grandmother would say they prayed every night when my granddad went to work because there could be a crazy Klansman that could take his life and there would be no justice. Granddad, how'd you get through that? And my grandfather was saying, you don't have to answer when someone calls you a name outside of your name. If you answer that, then you believe what they said. I know who I was in Christ. Second grade education, y'all. I would pray for food. I know who our God is. I used to go walk with him as a 5-year-old as he walked through the church praying, and they had those pillows, and he sat down. I would listen to him pray and scream, and on the way home, I'm like, is God hard of hearing? Granddad, why you got to scream so loud? And he just lied, didn't have an answer. I don't know why we scream so loud. God can hear. Bring it down, granddad. I mean, he's screaming, man. But what I'm saying is our generation, it's sad because this generation don't respect the elders. It's really, and they're missing a lot of wisdom. They're missing out on a lot of wisdom, right? Our generation, one of the things I don't like about our country is they act like it's a sin to age. They really do. Like age, like are we the only culture that don't respect elders? I mean, the wisdom that you're going to, I can save you some time if you want to talk to me about marriage. I can save you some wisdom. 34 years, I would say, you're happily married? I'd be in the bar, you're happily married? Tell me, how'd you do it? What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Respect your elders. I don't know why I'm going there. But, I mean, you're going to miss something. You are going to miss something. Now, look, I respect the young people. I do, because you can learn from anyone. You can learn from a four-year-old. Man, so all I'm saying to you is it's sad. I don't want us to be a church that dismiss the elders here, those that are older than you. Young people, it's okay. Forget your generation. Invite us, because we're going to help you in this world. We are going to help you spiritually. We're going to show you, tell you how to handle your money, everything that mistakes as we may, right? And so, but you got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to get out of your comfort zone. Now, is that the fourth thing? I'm lost here. Was that the third? All right. Number four, faith is also an opportunity that can reject if we let fear or disobedience overcome us. Faith is an opportunity that can be rejected if we let fear or disobedience overcome us. Isn't that self-evident? His way. Not your way. Help us, Lord, not to lean onto our own understanding, but to acknowledge you, not in some things, but in all things. The reason that faith is an opportunity that can be rejected if we let fear or disobedience come in, because their forefathers did it. I don't know. Maybe Pastor Sharon can tell us next week. I don't think. For 40 years of wondering, I think they could have got there in 3 days. I'm not sure, Pastor Sharon. Is it 11? Let me check with Pastor Sharon, too. Is it 11? No, I'm sorry, John. I mean, 11? 11, John. Thank you. I'm so sorry. But, you know, I need 3 witnesses. I'm sorry. So we got 11 days that they could have made it, right? But they were afraid of the Canaanites. So they were like giants to us. We're like grasshoppers. Can you imagine the mindset? I'm still tripping off the mindset. You walked on dry land, about 2 million people. You got released from Pharaoh 400 years. You're free. God did it. Not only that, you saw the plagues. The most powerful nation in the world at that time, you got delivered from. It would have taken you 11 days from our 2 famous witnesses here. I need one more, but I'm good with 2 today. And 40 years because of their fear and unbelief in God, who already did the mighty work. That's what I'm saying. Faith. Don't let fear overcome your faith. Right? Don't let fear overcome your faith. What I also like about this is that faith requires that our feet starts moving. Like, we, as your elders, have faith so much that we couldn't see anything. And what I loved about it was, I'm like, well, you know, Rocky in our shell, what's going to happen now? Nobody can give glory. Nobody can take the glory. What we're getting ready to do now, we're going to always say forever, it was a God thing. It was a God thing. It was a God thing. Because it's impossible. We were attacked. You guys were attacked at state. I mean, I'm going back in a little bit of history, but so what? I mean, you were attacked. We were attacked. And what God did was like, those are my people. They're going to flourish. But we couldn't see it. But we had to put our feet to faith. Put your feet to faith. Don't let fear, which is the enemy of faith, stop you from moving in the promises of God. Amen. Do not let it happen. Now, as I close, the last thing is so self-evident. Faith is an opportunity to see God demonstrate his power. I don't need to say nothing about it. I mean, we close the Bible. Faith is an opportunity to see God demonstrate his power. And I know there's hundreds of testimonies right sitting right here. I already know. What I didn't point out here is I did like how Joshua told the people, this is what God said. I want all of us to never listen to a person on this stage or in your classrooms that are not telling you what God said. You don't need to hear what I think, what Arshel thinks, what Rocky. What did God say? What did God say?